1-800-EXORCIST. You host them, we roast them. How may I help you today?
Hello. My name is Zach. I'm calling because I accidentally infected my girlfriend Tiffany with ghost herpes. And now she's given birth to a horrible demon spawn that's ruining our lives. I was hoping one of the professionals from 1-800-EXORCIST would be able to come to our home and exorcise our child.
Wait, hold on. Can you say the names of the father and the mother once more?
I'm the father, and my name is Zach, and my girlfriend Tiffany is the mother.
You're the one who infected my ex-girlfriend with ghost herpes. That was you.
No, it wasn't.
Oh, man. Oh, good luck with that, bro. We're booked up.
Fuck.
Welcome to Ragnarok, your home of the Nerdpocalypse.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Ragnarok, episode 10. We're finally in the double digits.
I love those double digits.
This episode is going to be called Remember Nostalgia or Revenge of the Human Tentacle.
Why is it so angry?
I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
I'm Eric.
I'm Meyer.
And instead of Ed this evening, we have two lovely ladies joining us. Ed decided to divide in some kind of horrible mitosis, and two women came out.
That was really awkward to watch.
Yeah. I don't know how that process worked, but... Ugh.
I think it was like human tentacle.
Would you two like to introduce yourselves to our listening audience?
I'm Allie.
I'm Alicia.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes,
and we were Ed.
We
used to be
Maybe
Ed.
Maybe you were...
You know what? I think our listeners should comment and post their theories about why Ed's not here. I think it would make for an interesting discussion.
Mm-hmm. I feel like human tentacles work.
I could be the human tentacle.
They split one man into two women.
Yep. That's what the human tentacle
does. Ed turned into two giant tentacles and they split in half and Alicia and I came out.
Ed turns into two giant hands.
I hope it turns
We've all seen how long his arms are.
So I can make out with myself.
Ooh. That's it.
I should have had the creeper voice.
That's all a right. horrifying image. Anyway, so this week
is it because you imagine them with beards.
This is a road that I don't want to go down.
Yep. All right. Roadblock.
Yes.
It's done.
Not just roadblock, but you know, cement wall, brick wall.
Hey, you know what's not horrible? Piety.
Yeah. Nostalgia.
Nostalgia. Speaking of which, this week we're going to be talking about all of those different intellectual properties from our childhoods that are now coming back. They're making a resurgence. We're going to be talking a little bit about the reasons why this happens and, you know, what we think of it, what kind of reboots are successful and which have kind of sucked horribly. With that, I guess I'll introduce the topic to the floor. What do you guys think?
I think it's fun to see people cash in on our childhood memories sometimes.
Yeah, I just hate to see some of it go horribly wrong like the Smurfs movie did.
Ugh. I didn't even see that because it looked so awful.
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, and then I just heard such horrible, horrible things from it. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I think this is a bit of nostalgia I could stay away from.
I mean, one of the reasons I like it is because I have younger sisters that are 9 years younger than me. So a lot of the stuff that I grew up with as a kid, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Transformers, that all pretty much petered out by the time they were born, or at least old enough to acknowledge things. And, I mean, I wouldn't say Michael Bay's Transformers is really anything like the cartoon, but at least they know what Transformers are.
And you can sort of make that connection. And I think that's one of the reasons that people nowadays enjoy these reboots is because they can share the things that they loved as children with their younger siblings, or in some cases, their children. We're edging into that territory right now.
Yep. None of us are geek parents, but we're almost there.
Yeah.
Not me.
Maybe. No. Not really.
Just Ryan and Allie, really.
Yeah.
Allie is planning to drag me down into the flaming wreckage of parenthood eventually.
Oh. Flaming wreckage?
Really? No.
I want twins immediately.
You want my sisters?
Evil twins?
I have already taught them.
I did plan, though, if I had a kid, I was like, what way I'm going to show my child the Star Wars movies? That's the one thing I planned out. That's the only thing I care about.
The order in
which
they
Which is
why
I should never be a father.
My kids are going to have so many video games to play.
Yeah, well, speaking of those twins, I'm pretty sure Joe wants to name them Luke and Leia, so...
Nice.
Not kidding.
So wait, he's going to cut off your son's hand?
Well, I hope he doesn't go that far.
He's going to choke you out.
Yep.
Oh. But nostalgia.
Yeah. yeah.
Speaking of nostalgia, I guess if people have heard already about Seth MacFarlane bringing his own iteration of the Flintstones.
That's true.
Yeah. That's even before our time, though.
Right. Well, I mean, we know of it. Well, like,
I grew up on reruns of it.
Yeah,
I think some channel that I don't remember.
Yeah, it was Flintstones, Jetsons.
Yeah,
like,
always.
I was usually watching the old Adam West Batman and Lone Ranger, actually.
Right around our time, they had the Flintstone Kids.
Oh, God, that was...
Yeah. I don't remember that.
Well, they had
the Flintstones movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't John Goodman in it?
Yes, he was.
Rosie O'Donnell.
So was Rosie O'Donnell.
And Rick Moranis.
I remember a cartoon where they met, like, just the Jetsons and Flintstones met.
Yeah.
That
I'm
was
pretty
a
sure it was called The Jetsons Meet the Flintstones.
It was a good
very
one.
Creative title.
I mean, if you think about it, this has really been happening for a while. I mean, they also had the Casper movie. It's not a new thing. It's just kind of...
No, it's this is going to be a new car, the whole show entirely, though. He's going to make a whole show about Flintstones.
Oh.
Hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, but they're also... I mean, it also goes back to cashing in. Like, they're making a battleship movie.
Yes.
I saw the trailer for it, and I'm pretty sure aliens... Two little fleets meet in the sea, and these aliens or something puts a big dome over it so they can't leave.
I know, and I don't know what's going on with that. I was looking for pegs, and I didn't see them.
Rihanna's in it for some reason.
There was no grid.
Is Rihanna a peg?
I know.
No grid. Oh, see, my favorite thing I learned recently about Battleship was actually a drinking game.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
You saw the picture with all the boats and all the little shots in the boat when your battleship gets hit. You have to take the shot.
Yep.
Seems fun. Way more fun than a movie about Battleship.
I want to make a movie on Yahtzee.
Dude. Bring it back.
Right?
It would be something like Saw, when you have to roll Yahtzee, otherwise you get a limb chopped off.
Yeah.
It'd just be this really intense people sitting around a table with a single bare bulb hanging over it, swaying slowly.
Two old men playing Yahtzee.
So, as Alicia pointed out, the resurgence of nostalgia isn't exactly anything new, but I think for the first time now, it's starting to affect the properties that we knew as children that are coming back, rather than the older generation coming back for us.
Right. Well, I think like one of those examples is Mortal Kombat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the video game came out in the early 90s. The first video game came out in the early
1992.
90s. And there were a few good, you know, up to Mortal Kombat 3, it was good.
Yeah.
Then they got progressively worse, and the movies weren't good.
If you want to hear more about the movies, it was last week's last.
It was the last episode.
They made a TV series after number 2.
Did they?
Yep, for a while.
Wow.
Yes.
And then they made a few more bad games.
Yeah.
And then they finally had that rebooted web series.
Yes.
And which coincided with the launch of the new game, which was really good.
Yes. Yep.
And now they're making another movie.
And by the same guy who made Legacy, the web series.
The web series.
And they are awesome.
Well, hopefully.
Well, the web series is awesome.
Yeah, that was awesome. But hopefully the movie will be good.
Let's talk about that. What do you guys think made that web series such a successful part of the Mortal Kombat reboot?
I think it could have been possibly because it was coming off so many new Mortal Kombats that were just not very good. And then... You know, people hear, oh, there's a Mortal Kombat video online, let me check it out, it's going to be bad. Oh, wait, no, this is pretty good. And I think it's just kind of that going from bad, having bad expectations, and then, wow, this is good.
I think part of it was also what we were talking about last time with the Mortal Kombat movie, was that the Mortal Kombat movie was all camp.
Yeah.
Whereas the new web series
played it straight,
but did it well, too. It didn't, it shied away from everything being explained with magic. And, you know, the first episode was like a police... The first two episodes were like a police drama, pretty much. Just happened to have Mortal Kombat characters in them.
They got some solid actors. Jerry Ryan as Sonya Blade.
Yep. Tam O'Pennicott
was Striker.
Jax was...
Yeah, who was Jax?
I forget his name.
Yeah. Well, I mean, all the actors were pretty good, too.
I think it's really interesting what you said about, you know, going from camp to something more realistic. Because if you think about the superhero series that have been working out and the ones that are getting rebooted right now are having a more realistic element
put that's true. Batman.
Dark Knight is grittier because of what it is.
Yeah. They do more modern takes now to get people to get into it.
I mean, but you kind of have to do, because no, I mean, if if the 1980s Batman, you know, if Tim Burton's Batman premiered now, I don't think it would do as well. Because it's a little too campy. But the Christopher Nolan Batman obviously did exceedingly well.
Well, even Spider-Man is coming out. I mean, I'm anticipating that because I want to see exactly what they do to reboot it. And, yeah. I mean, you know, no. Not looking forward to it, no?
I mean, I thought it was a little silly to just reboot everything a decade after they rebooted it.
Yeah.
No, but I think it's interesting in looking into the reasons why they might have decided to do that. Because if you look at the third one, it did get campy. It, you know, they started not relying on the reasons why they started the series to begin with, and it got really, really campy, so...
Yeah.
One of the reasons they do reboots is to get new viewers, and so that's why they do modern takes of it, because...
They have to sort of update things for a modern sensibility.
Which is, like Thundercats is now... They just came out with Thundercats. It's much more anime, and it's much more action, it's... And, you know, the original Thundercats was definitely camp and definitely dated. Yeah. You know, it's definitely, and the new one is, you know, I've watched, you know, the first two episodes, and it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, I mean, adding more action is sort of the same thing with the Transformers movies. Yeah. Like, the cartoon was an action cartoon, but this is a Michael Bay explosion. Yeah. Like, you know, the new Transformers movies are pretty much one giant explosion, broken up by shots of pretty cars.
And pretty ladies.
Yes, and pretty people.
And every once in a while, people talk to one another.
Yeah, but Shia LaBeouf is in it.
That's true.
Yes, he is.
He's not worth looking at or listening to.
Oh, and John Turturro makes ball jokes.
Mm. You know what I really enjoyed? I don't know if you guys saw it, but the new Fright Night. Did you see that?
No.
Now no, I wanted to see it.
It was good.
Yeah, they rebooted that, too.
They did. David Tennant, though.
Yes, good old doctor.
I mean, that in itself is a reboot, isn't it? The new Who.
There was
a break of like 8 years between.
It's not really a reboot. I mean, I would say it's a revamp.
Okay.
Because it continues from the other stories. They didn't just say nope, that didn't happen. We're starting over. It's a modern adaptation of it.
Right.
But it's just a continuation of where it's going.
Go ahead.
Unlike with Star Trek.
Right.
Or they changed history.
I mean, no, technically Star Trek.
It's the same, it's different universes, and the Star Trek has still happened. It just happened in another universe.
Mm-hmm. Right, they created a different timeline. Yeah. It's got all wibbly-wobbly.
Yeah, wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the new Mortal Kombat web series leading into the movie, and the new video game is a successful reboot. Can we think of any other successful reboots?
I can.
Eric?
I can think of My Little Pony.
Friendship is magic.
See, what I said with the Mortal Kombat thing about how people went into it expecting something bad and then saw how good it was, that's kind of how I got into the new My Little Pony. Because people said, oh, check this pony show out. I'm like, no, man. I've seen the old ones my sister used to watch and stuff. There's no way this is going to be good.
You said no at first?
Wait, someone actually said, hey, check this pony show out.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, Eric said that.
You don't know
the
kind of people he's
like,
around.
Nope.
Oh.
It was all over the message boards and stuff.
It was Alex's little sister's.
I think they're a little too old for my old.
And then I checked it out, and I was like, well, this is nothing like the old show. I'm not dissing the old show for people who might like
am.
It. I am. The old show was bad.
Oh, okay.
speaking as a girl who actually watched it, and more I was into the movies than the show, but it was bad.
Watch the one movie.
It gave you, like, it didn't teach you anything. You didn't really get anything out of it. And it was just very excessively girly. It was, way too girly.
And that's something that Lauren Faust was looking to fix with this one. She's looking to make it more accessible for, like, not just for little girls, but for a show that they could watch with their families and accidentally for a bunch of guys my age.
A bunch?
A lot.
Quite a few.
You should read Ryan's articles about BronyCon.
There's about 200 of
us. Which is on the site.
300,
more,
Ryan said.
More, 300.
Yeah, they're...
They had 250 register ahead of time, and then they had another 50 or so walk-ins.
There we go.
It's crazy.
Maybe some of those people were just lost.
Well, they were pleasantly lost. They found the right
place.
Oh, look,
there's a large gathering of people. Let's go there.
They knew enough to sing along with the theme song.
No, they weren't
but
lost.
But no one feels like the cartoons now are becoming kind of... I mean, aside from the adult men that are watching My Little Pony, like, they're not becoming a little polarized? Like, whatever happened to the cartoons like Doug and Rugrats, where, like, boys and girls both kind of watched them and enjoyed them? Like, now it's Clone Wars or...
Well, you always had that.
It was
ponies or Transformers.
Pretty much.
Well, I think it goes back to McDonald's Happy Meals. And, yeah, you know, you could get the little cars or you could get the little Barbie dolls.
They still have boys' toys and girls' toys at McDonald's.
And yeah, I never wanted the girl ones because I never liked them. Especially those creepy dolls that were like the Madame Alexander ones.
I collect looking. Those, actually.
They're scary.
I have the witch. She's in my car. It's Elphaba.
Getting back to the original My Little Pony, I remember that was a show. As a kid, when there was nothing else on Saturday mornings, I would try to get into whatever was on. And I'll be honest, I tried to get into Transformers too, and I just couldn't. I couldn't, I guess, attach myself to any of the characters. But it was the same thing with My Little Pony. It was just bland in a different way. You know, Transformers was boy bland, and My Little Pony was bland for girls.
Transformers had cars that turned into robots. How was that bland?
Car that turned
into robots. My Little Pony had talking ponies, but it was still boring.
And a dragon.
Well, that's because talking ponies are stupid.
No, they're not. Sea ponies were stupid.
Sea ponies are pretty stupid.
Because they were sea ponies, and they weren't like seahorses, and looked really freaky. But, like, the ponies in the original one were really, really boring.
The current thing, we make fun of it.
As you should, because the originals were bad. Especially, like, the original movie.
I liked that movie.
Alex,
it's
so
the one with the little, the three, like, witchy ladies and the purpley-gray stuff called the Smooze.
Yeah, and that princess was the one that, the princess, like, was complaining the whole time. And she saved the little dragon guy, right? No?
No. I think we're talking about something altogether different.
Well, no, it was My Little Pony. It was a different movie.
Different movie.
Whatever.
But
there's also been a resurgence, I would say, also of nostalgic things in its original form. I think mainly in video games it comes up. Like, Mega Man 9 and 10
are
8-bit games that were released on the Xbox 360 and, you know, the PS3.
Right, because they had so many more that they were taking the franchise in such different directions and... Not to say it was bad, but like the .exe series on Game Boy Advance and stuff. And then when they just went back to old school 8-bit, 8 bosses to beat them with these weapons, blah, blah, blah. It was amazing how they just jumped right back into it. It was almost as if they never missed a step with it. Yeah. It's like yesterday was Mega Man 7 and 8 and stuff, and now we have Mega Man 9 and this stuff.
Right, and they're doing something similar with Sonic Generations. Mm. After a series of exceedingly bad Sonic games, they finally, you know, they had Sonic 4. They're just like, fuck it, fine, here you go, side-scrolling Sonic, just run and hit things, go for it.
To be fair, you don't know if Sonic Generations is good, though.
It's true.
Well, but they're using that nostalgia to try and sell the game.
Do you know what I learned from Ryan yesterday? Apparently the cartoon of Sonic the Hedgehog that I watched as a child was the bad one.
Oh, the one with Scratch and Grounder?
Yes.
Yeah, I loved that one, but yeah, it's apparently the bad one.
I watched that one too, and I didn't know there was a different one, and Ryan was mean to me about it. That I enjoyed bad one.
You watched the bad one.
But I didn't know there was a good one.
There was the other one that was more action-packed, and I kind of enjoyed that, but I liked the bad one more myself.
I guess that just explains why you like ponies so much.
I'm sorry to all my pony friends that I link to this podcast.
Well, you've got three people here. You got three people here who enjoy My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic.
Well, along the lines of My Little Pony and bringing back shows that were shows or games in their original form, the same channel that runs My Little Pony, The Hub, also runs episodes of Gem and the Holograms, which is something that I was really into as a kid. And I know Eric has some experience with it because his sister used to watch it.
One of our cats was named Gem because of it.
It's an awesome name. One of the things that I think works with Gem that also works with My Little Pony is that they had a goal of making the shows a little more action-packed than you'd normally find in a girl's show. Like, most episodes of Gem were written by Christy Marks, and before she worked for Gem, she wrote for G.I. Joe. So she was used to writing a lot of action sequences. So as much as Jem was very, like, pink and looked very girly, there was a lot of action in it. And there was danger, and there was, like, cars hanging off cliffs. It was fun.
And they had characters that you could distinguish from one another. Yeah.
Well, but, I mean, that's sort of different, because that's just repeats of an old show. It's not like they're bringing back Jem and the Holograms.
But the comparison that I wanted to make was that with the new version of My Little Pony, it's similar in that it's not boring, bland, girly characters. Like, things actually happen on the show, which is something that didn't really happen on the original, or any of the originals. And the characters all have very unique personalities. You can tell them apart. And the show is more about their interactions with each other than about cutesy Little Pony Land and going to little dance and singing classes, because that's what I remember about original My Little Pony.
And selling toys.
And selling toys. Yeah.
Although they still do it now.
But... Unlike the horrifying Strawberry Shortcake show.
Oh, God.
Before My Little Pony.
Original one was pretty scary, too.
Which I like to call Strawberry Shortcake in the Uncanny Valley.
Oh, God.
And those weird little dancing strawberries in the background. All we watched was the end. No, she's like weird and like freaky skinny. I don't understand.
Rainbow
it.
Bright is like freaky skinny also.
Wait, is there a new Rainbow Bright?
I think it's coming out, yeah.
There should not be a new Rainbow Bright, because original Rainbow Bright was awesome.
My sister loved Rainbow Bright.
Well, speaking of, you know, there shouldn't be a new Rainbow Bright, maybe can we think of any nostalgic resurgences that were bad? Like things that just didn't do it right?
Transformers movies.
Well, yeah, the Transformers. GoldenEye.
The new game from Nintendo that came out last year. They have tried to capitalize and cash in on the popularity of the original game so many times, and they just haven't hit it yet. I thought that they took a step in the right direction, because they pretty much did what you have to do for a successful reboot. They got, you know, the original writer to update the story for modern sensibilities. Mm-hmm. They got Daniel Craig, who's the current Bond.
Yeah, they did.
You know, they didn't model it after Pierce Brosnan, who is
no longer Bond.
The Bond in the GoldenEye film, and they updated the story, because the original GoldenEye was like a post Cold War type setting. And they updated it for, you know, war on terror, kind of current world politics,
right?
Type of a deal.
Yeah, it wasn't. I mean, now they're also redoing that game and releasing it on the 3, because that was originally for the Wii.
Well, that's right. The reason.
And, yeah,
that's trolls.
Yeah,
that's what Ryan's trying to get to. The controls for the Wii was awful. You couldn't play it. It was like, you know, as it did, 4 controls were kind of bad, but you know, And when new games come out, the controls get better and better. Mm. And GoldenEye just goes right back to the stars.
Yeah, I think I would miss the original one where, you know.
I think it's definitely going to be more popular on the 360 and the PS3, because it'll have online multiplayer, too.
And also, you don't have the Wii controls where you have to, you know, aim it at the screen. And,
yeah.
Oh, it was so bad.
I think Ryan and I briefly played this game. What did you, like, rent it or something?
Yes, I rented it from Blockbuster to see if I wanted to buy it. Because if the controls were... I had misgivings about the controls from the beginning, and I'm glad I didn't go ahead and buy it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure my response to it was, this is a lot like Perfect Dark, and I'd rather play that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Perfect Dark was made by the guys that made GoldenEye.
Yes.
GoldenEye.
Right.
But I think Perfect Dark Zero was another example. Like, you know,
right, exactly.
It was about, 15 years in the making?
Right.
And it came out, and people were like... Duke Nukem Forever.
Duke Nukem Forever.
That wasn't really Forever. A remake.
That's,
out of the game.
Yeah, that's not true. Really a reboot. That's just vaporware a game for... that got caught in development hell for
Sorry, I'm going to go be
decade.
Sick for a little while.
But I think Perfect Dark fits into that, because Perfect Dark Zero, I mean, I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be a sequel, but they were definitely, when the 360 launched, they were definitely trying to capitalize on Perfect Dark.
Right, and that was like one of the big launch titles.
Yeah.
They're just saying, Perfect Dark, it's back. And then I played a little bit of it, and I was just like, this isn't like the Perfect Dark I liked. This is, it's nice that they're trying to bring it back, but they should have brought it back better.
The Perfect Dark that I liked was the version that was on Nintendo 64. I don't know if there was two versions or not, but
that was the only one until the 360.
But getting back to GoldenEye for a minute, I feel like the GoldenEye reboot had a lot of potential. The problem was entirely that it was on the Nintendo, and the Wii sucks.
Yes.
It was awful. They come out with other systems, though, so hopefully the controllers are better and it's playable.
I think it might have the potential to be rescued later by, you know, being ported over to the 360 or the PS3.
But I mean, even if we're just talking about, you know, nostalgia and reboots and everything, James Bond is another big one. You know, they just sort of, they had 22 or 23 Bond movies, and they just scrapped all that backstory and started over with Casino Royale. New Bond, new back, you know, new story. And they just restarted Bond. I thought Casino Royale was fantastic.
I love Casino Royale.
Quantum of Solace wasn't very good.
You know what? I didn't see it.
Quantum of Solace was not as good as
Casino Royale. Was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I felt Quantum of Solace needed to happen to get Bond where he needs to be for the next movie, but it wasn't as good. I think part of the problem was that it was following Casino Royale, which was fantastic.
Yes, it was.
And it just wasn't going to live up to it. There's no way it was going to.
Craig's probably like my third favorite Bond right now.
Yeah, he's really good. And, I mean, maybe there are some things that they should reboot that they haven't yet. Like, I think one thing that might be good, I'm trepidatious to say it, but I would say Bill and Ted.
I could see that one.
Because I was actually, I was explaining it to my sisters because they had never seen it. And it's sort of removed from that generation. And they could easily, I mean, I don't want to say easily, but, you know, they could update it and probably still have it be good. Might have to change out the, you know, the two stoner skater kids from SoCal with someone else. But
69 dudes.
Just still have Keanu Reeves in it.
That was sort of the pinnacle of his acting career.
The impression that they're making another Bill and Ted movie.
But oh, they are making
they are?
Them.
They are.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, all
right. They're making a third one. I had forgotten about that.
Holy shit.
Wait, if that's it's a third one, does that mean they're going to try and original cast people?
That's going to be weird. So maybe it'll be in the future where their Wild Stallions music has brought peace to the world.
Speaking of third movies from old movies, the Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah, there've been Ghostbusters 3 has been in development hell for a while now, and they actually had the Ghostbusters video game a couple years back.
Right.
It was decent.
Which was supposed to be a fill-in for the third movie, but from what I've heard, it's getting closer and closer to actually happening. Which is, again, still sort of capitalizing on the nostalgia. And, you know, it's been about 20-ish years since Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, I mean, they capitalized that on Zombieland also. It wasn't, you know, a major part of the movie, but people that know Ghostbusters were excited to see Bill Murray and see the different nods to that.
Yeah, yeah, you can always get cameos out of people. You know, those people who are known for one thing, like the guy who played RoboCop.
Yep.
I don't know his name, but for some reason he was too good to be in RoboCop 3. And I was thinking to him, and I looked him up on IMDb. I'm like, man, you have done nothing other than have bit roles and things as the guy from RoboCop.
He was in Fringe. He was a cameo in Fringe.
He had a cameo in Fringe. He was on a two-parter in Star Trek Enterprise. And every time they build him in Fringe as RoboCop.
Yeah.
So, RoboCop's whatever his name was. I'm like, man, you should have rode that RoboCop train as long as you could.
All right, no, okay, that is a movie that has to be remade now. Another RoboCop.
I see. I wouldn't want them to remake RoboCop because the first one still stands as a good movie.
That's true.
The first one is still a good movie and doesn't need to be updated. It's like trying to update Terminator.
Well, I feel like when you update an older franchise to a modern sensibility, and it loses most of the things that made it unique and cool in the first place, instead of just, you know, getting a flavor of what's currently going on, I feel like that's one of the things that makes a disaster of a reboot.
Right.
Actually, think about it. One movie I would like to see a new Turtles, because with, like, you know, like their graphics now,
like a live action Turtles.
Yeah, a new live action turtle movie.
I think I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't object.
If it's done well.
I mean, they did a CGI movie not too long ago, like I don't know, 5 years ago.
Yeah, TMNT.
They actually did a massive Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover of every single iteration of the Turtles.
I've been meaning to watch that.
Yeah, me too. Good. It's supposed to be really, really good.
That does sound like it could be really good.
But
I mean, like, even the comic book version was in it.
Wow. All right.
Look forward to the new Muppets. Anybody looking forward to
that? Oh, yeah.
That's true. Oh, I'm so looking forward to the new Muppet
movie. And you know something? All of the shorts that the Muppets have come out with in the last couple of years, pure gold. Just completely awesome.
I just remember the one with Beaker singing Dust in the Wind.
That was like when they did Bohemian Rhapsody.
And all the parody trailers they've been doing for the new movie.
Yeah,
no, they it's been fantastic. Because the Muppets is one of those things that's timeless.
Yes.
Because they don't age.
Right. And, I mean, they had. I remember when I was a kid, they redid the Muppet Show. They brought back the Muppet Show.
Yeah.
And it didn't really work.
Yeah.
which is unfortunate.
Right. Well, you know, if you watch parts of The Muppet Show now, sometimes you wonder, was this headed for children? Because there's some inappropriate things.
It wasn't. But like, the original Muppet Show was on English TV for adults.
I feel like when we were younger, they had, like, the Muppet Babies.
Right.
And they try and sell The Muppet Show as more of a kid's show, but it really wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe Boy Bees.
I wonder if they ever try to bring the Muppet Babies back.
I hope not.
Who was Nanny?
You know.
She was the terrifying creature that was only legs.
She was very negligent.
Yeah, she was.
I still want to know what happened. I still want to know if the Muppet Babies were supposed to be the younger version of the Muppets. What happened to Skeeter? Skeeter was... I mean, I know the Muppet Babies came after the Muppets, but Skeeter was in the Muppet Babies to make more female characters, but then it's like,
Skeeter's a girl?
Skeeter's a girl.
Am I thinking of someone different?
No, Scooter's the...
Scooter, that's what I'm thinking about.
Scooter's the adult Muppet, but Skeeter was invented as his twin sister.
We don't talk about Skeeter anymore.
Yeah, I really wondered what happened to Skeeter.
I'm pretty sure I thought that was a girl when I watched a boy when I watched it.
Doesn't matter. You don't talk about Skeeter. Scooter did his time. And we don't talk about Skeeter.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
That went to a very dark place.
Didn't every episode of The Muppet Babies, though? I mean, really.
Rolf grew up into kind of a creeper, I have to say. He was really cute when he was a kid, but...
Because he was a puppy.
He's like, that's how he talks! Well, he's an adult.
He's supposed to be a pianist, so, you know. Pianists are kind of creepy people. Some of them.
They're very handsy.
Well, I wish they would have went into like the whole background issue of Gonzo with the chickens. Like, how did that come about?
I really don't think they were thinking of Muppet Babies as a way to delve into the psyches of the Muppets in the future. I really don't think that was their plan with the show.
It might have been a good show.
Not for kids.
Not seeing Gonzo with chickens.
Well, but I don't think kids like chickens.
I don't think parents are going to want to watch the start of Gonzo's chicken fetish.
He's in love with her.
Yeah, he is. He loves Camilla.
Nanny locks Gonzo in a sack full of chickens in the closet.
She would throw him in the hen coop when he was bad.
How did he fertilize the eggs?
With semen.
Oh, okay.
That's awful.
Lucas helped produce that show? I think he did, because that's why there's so many references to Star Wars and to Indiana Jones, too.
Yeah, they revisited Star Wars and Indiana Jones quite often.
Oh, well, speaking again, another one that shouldn't have been made, Indiana Jones 4.
That's something else we don't talk about.
I didn't hate it.
No, oh my god!
I didn't hate it. I mean, I didn't love it, but I didn't absolutely...
Just leave.
I would go with the only thing I really didn't like was Shia LaBeouf.
No, it's happening!
No, nobody wants Ed.
At least Ed would agree with me on this.
I do have to agree with you. I did not like the fourth Indiana Jones movie at all.
It happened all wrong.
I mean...
Shia LaBeouf, you son of a bitch.
Well, like I said, I didn't hate it, but I really don't like Shia LaBeouf, and that was like a giant... why did they put this in Indiana Jones?
I liked him on the Disney Channel, and then something happened.
With four, you've definitely seen that they're trying to pass the torch. Harrison Ford's trying to pass the torch to Shia LaBeouf. And nobody
why the fuck is everyone trying to pass the torch to Shia LaBeouf?
I don't know.
The Transformers movie are about Shia LaBeouf. Indiana Jones, Shia LaBeouf.
Wall Street.
Wall Street,
you're right. Oh my god.
He was in that golf movie, right?
The golf movie?
Yeah, no one cares about the golf movie.
Well, I'm just saying. We were mentioning movies.
We don't talk about golf.
He was in Disturbia.
That's part of the rules.
It's specifically
It is in the Ragnarok Charter. We don't talk about golf.
Shia LaBeouf's going to be in Ponies next week.
He's going to be the only live action character.
Yeah. We're trying to get Weird Al, and instead they got Shia LaBeouf.
I don't know, but I like Twizzle Tits.
Twizzle Tits.
Twizzle Tits the pony.
Twizzle Tits is right up there with Cock to Copter and Prince Shit on Your Face.
Those are the best ponies.
They are.
Okay, I think we can all agree that we need a new avatar for our generation. Shia LaBeouf, no offense, but go the fuck home. And with that, I think we should wrap up this discussion about nostalgia. Anybody have any closing thoughts?
Sometimes I think nostalgia should stay in the past, and we should try to come up with new ideas. And that way we have something to talk to our kids about.
Or if you have a really, you know, all, like really imaginative and original idea, the way to have an old franchise and way to make it new again.
Like Battlestar?
And make it, you know, cool and its old thing now. Then that's a good reboot.
Right.
Right, don't just do it for the money, even though that's why everyone's going to do it. Yeah. If you're going to make something good of it, make it. If you don't have anything to add to the table, to bring to the table, then just, you know, let it be.
Choose a different project.
And I feel like the reboot franchises are all more successful when there's a strong creative presence behind the show who brings a little something of, you know, themselves and their own interests to what they do. Like Rondi Moore in Battlestar, Lauren Faust in My Little Pony, apparently Seth MacFarlane in the Flintstones.
Well, like, you had some other comments about that didn't come out.
That's for another time. If you want to hear what my thoughts are about Seth MacFarlane's The Flintstones, then feel free to ask me on the site. I'll let you know.
Oh, he'll let you know.
Oh, yeah.
He's got an 18-page tirade.
I heard Shia LaBeouf is going to be playing Bam Bam.
God damn it!
They're going to be rebooting Buffy the Vampire Slayer, too.
And Shia LaBeouf as Buffy.
Yeah. Shia LaBeouf.
The first transgendered
Shia LaBeouf, the
transgendered Vampire Slayer. Oh, God.
I feel like that could be a musical, Alex.
Like, I was born in a woman's body. He's going
I was born in a man's body.
All right.
You know, if he was a good actor, that might actually be funny.
Well, we're going to take a little break now. We'll be back in a few minutes with Alex and Meyer doing a retrospective on the Gears of War series. Mm-hmm. And a little later, we'll share some of our favorite spam comments that we've gotten on the site.
Legit comments.
All right, that's right. We're pretending that they're 100% legit.
We're not pretending anything, Ryan.
These are people who are genuinely interested in our products.
Yeah.
Remember the good times, forget them, how could I really let go? Tell me why would I can't escape these thoughts running through my mind. Stress got me feeling tense, needing to unwind. Remember the good times, forget them, how could I really let go? Tell me why would them good times, we kicked it in the hood. Still remember them good times, smoking on that good. Still remember them good times, us balling on the coke. That top flight gang, and we wanted it all. And out of the clique, man, I was the youngest. You treated me like LeBron, and you showed me true thugging, real beef in the streets. But you never seemed worried. Guess that was the reason why my homie got buried. You was a gangbang graduate, ABG leader. Anybody gets you, made it clear that's how we treat them. They say the good die young, and damn it, you was 19. Got me like wake up V, hoping it was all a dream. Nah, this real life, man, I miss my boys. Screaming loud, rest in peace, making sure they feel my noise. You may be gone, but believe, never forgotten. Rest in peace, Jelani, aka the G who got it. Remember the good times, forget them, how could I?
Meyer and I are here because we're going to present a retrospective on the Gears of War series. Now, we're both big fans.
Yeah, we are. I'm Marcus.
Don't do that for the whole thing.
Okay.
You can do it for part of it, though.
All right.
And we decided, since we're such big fans of the whole series, that instead of just reviewing Gears of War 3, we wanted to sort of take a look back at the entire series and take it in as one big story, which is really what it is.
Yeah.
It's one, you know, like Lord of the Rings or any other trilogy, it's one big epic.
Oh, yeah.
And it's definitely epic. That is the best word to describe Gears of War.
Yeah, it's made by Epic.
It's made by Epic, and it is epic.
That's how epic it is.
It's so epic, it's made by Epic.
Yep.
Right. So I'm going to talk a little bit about the story. Mm-hmm. And the story of Gears of War begins after decades of war. Mm-hmm. The planet Sera, where the game takes place, had been ravaged and destroyed by the use of weapons of mass destruction and constant fighting before the game even starts.
Oh, yeah.
It's already in ruins.
It's shit.
Yeah. I think they had 79 years of war before the game even started. Yeah. But Gears of War starts 14 years after what's called Emergence Day, when the Locust came out of the ground and attacked all of humanity. The last remnants of humanity are fighting a war against the Locust, desperately trying to get their planet back.
Yeah. And Locusts are like underground monsters.
Yeah. And the two main characters in this are Marcus Fenix and Dominic Santiago. They're two friends who have really become more like brothers through the years of war and getting each other's back.
Yeah.
They've always been there for each other. Mm-hmm. And they're part of Delta Squad, which is in the COG army. The COG is the Coalition of Ordered Governments. And the army of the COG is the Gears, hence the name.
Yep.
And throughout the series, Marcus and Dom, along with their two other team members of Delta, Baird and Cole, overcome increasingly difficult odds and, by the end of the series, of course, save the day. Yep. There are spoilers ahead, by the way.
Yes, there are.
So first, Marcus and Dom deliver the first COG superweapon, the light mass bomb, into the middle of the Locust underground stronghold. And when it's detonated, the theory goes, it will wipe out the Locust horde. Of course, things don't quite work out like that.
Or there's not another game.
Well, yeah, there wouldn't have been another game. Now, they deal a heavy blow to the Locust, yeah. Definitely, but it yeah. doesn't wipe them out like they thought it would. So, start game two when the Locust retaliate by sinking human cities, where the last refugees, the Stranded, are living. Delta Squad winds up stopping the plan by killing the giant worm, and I mean giant, that the Locusts were using to sink the cities. Which is kind of campy, if you think about it. A yes. giant worm. Yeah. You have to literally cut the hearts out of this thing.
Gears is kind of campy.
A little bit. Then, in yet another last-ditch effort, the humans sink the city of Jacinto, which was humanity's last stronghold, and flood the Locust tunnels, hoping to, once again, wipe out the Locusts.
And of course it doesn't.
Yep, and fast forward 2 years, surprise, surprise, it turns out the plan didn't quite work. Humanity destroyed the Locust underground home, but it turns out it just forced the remnants of the Locust above ground. But it turns out the Locust originally invaded the surface because they were trying to escape the emulsion underground, which was poisoning them.
Which humans made.
Well, no, it was just there. Humans were using it as fuel,
yeah.
Which was what started the original war.
Yeah.
The Pendulum Wars.
Yes.
That's what started before the Locust War.
Yeah.
It was all over emulsion, which was the miracle fuel, a near limitless resource of energy.
Wasn't a really miracle, though.
No, because it turns out that the real problem wasn't the Locust, it's the Lambent. And the Lambent are Locusts who have become infected by emulsion. And then it's not just the Locust, humans are now becoming infected as well. It turns out the emulsion is a living organism that's infecting everything on Sera and turning it into Lambent.
Yeah. It's at this point in the game I was like, Just go to a spaceship. Fuck this place. This place is shit.
Fuck the planet. Let's go to space.
We're done.
Right. So, and then at the end of the third game, cue the last-ditch effort. Yeah. And then with a little bit of Deus Ex Machina, and then, of course, there's an epic conclusion. Yeah. Now, I have to say, the Gears story really did evolve over the three games. Mm-hmm. The first really started as mostly two bros fighting a war, yeah. and became an emotional story by the end. Mm-hmm. I was invested in the characters, and I know I always played Dom, and Meyer was always Marcus.
Yeah.
And I was legitimately upset when one of the main characters died so the mission could be completed.
Yeah, but it was handled very well, the scene.
It was.
It even added, what was a nice touch I thought was, they added the song that they play in the very first trailer for the first Gears game, the
Worn Out Places and Worn Out Faces.
Yeah, and they played, I was like, all right, that's a really nice touch. Because that wasn't ever played in the game either, so it was the first time in the game, I think.
Yeah. Now, the story isn't perfect. It's really campy at times, like, you know, I said, the giant worm.
Yeah.
And in the second and third games, characters doing things like yelling, shit yeah, after getting a good reload, sort of damaged the emotional impact that designers were going for in
or
certain scenes.
Anything that comes out of Cole.
Like, in the second one, Dom has to, he's looking for his wife who's been kidnapped by the Locust, and he finds her, but she's so fucked up that he has to shoot her and kill her.
Yeah.
And then 2 minutes later, you get a good reload, and you go, shit yeah! Yeah. Like, it's a little. And I know Cliff Bleszinski, who has designed the game, you know, acknowledged that they wanted to try to shut that off, but by the time they realized that it was too late. But it's sort of things like that sort of took away, added to the campiness and, you know, the brofist, and took away from the story a bit.
Yeah.
But the story was definitely epic.
Mm-hmm.
And things only increase with each entry into the series. And some of the boss fights are truly memorable. I mean, I will never forget the corpser fight in Gears 1, where you're just on that plateau surrounded by emulsion, and you have to shoot it into the emulsion so it dies.
Yeah.
Or the Lambent Zerker in Gears 3.
Yeah.
Which was a bitch.
Yeah. Or General Rom at the end of the first one.
Oh, on the train with the bats.
It was so unfair.
Yeah. But when you ramp up the difficulty, the game gets really ridiculous. But I have to say, the ending was satisfying. That last boss fight, I will always remember. But it may have been a pain in the ass when we were playing it on hardcore. But I know me, and probably Meyer, definitely felt a sense of accomplishment after defeating the final boss.
I did it immediate, but I was thinking about it recently. Now I feel a little betrayed. Not betrayed. I feel it wasn't as strong of an ending as I would have liked.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I like
because,
it.
Because the whole game, I don't want to give anything too much away, but you know, the whole series was, you know, the Delta Squad.
Right.
Saving the world. And it always felt like these were the people that saved the Earth. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, at that last game, it's like there's another person now that has to save, and you're not that important. Like, you know, it feels like...
I get what you're saying. Yeah. But, I mean, if you think about it, really, Delta was just sort of the means to an end. Like, yeah. They had to deliver the bomb, the light mess bomb, but they didn't build it.
No, I enjoyed the game. I just, that one part, I just realized, like, you know, it's, you know, it wasn't as strong as I wanted.
All right, really. Fair enough. And, you know, despite its few flaws, Gears does manage to tell an emotional story, mm-hmm. and one that I'm glad to say had an actual conclusion. You know, I'm sure Epic could make more Gears games if they wanted to, yeah. but I'm glad the trilogy they originally set out to make had an actual conclusion.
Yeah.
Unlike Halo. Because Halo 3, which is supposed to be the last one, then all of a sudden ends on a cliffhanger.
It always ends on a cliffhanger.
Right. But Gears actually had an ending.
Yes.
The story ended.
Yep.
And, you know, they might be able to do some sort of spin-off or a prequel or something, but that story they were telling was done. And, you know, the story of Gears may not be genre-defying, but I would compare it to the movie Die Hard. Neither is really what I would consider to be a work of art, just like some movies are a work of art and some aren't. But just as Die Hard is a great movie to watch and is really fun, mm-hmm. Gears is the same thing for a video game. Yeah. You know, no one's going to be, you know, hanging it up in the Louvre anytime soon. But it is definitely fun and just a joy to play. Yeah. And as far as I'm concerned, that makes it a fantastic game.
It's all about kicking ass, taking names.
Yep. And being epic.
Yeah. Being a man.
Being a man.
Being a man.
Marcus! Gotta be a man!
Gotta take steroids and be a man.
Oh, yeah. They're all so roided up. It's ridiculous. Yep. The last shot in Gears 3 with Anya's hand and Marcus's.
Yep.
It's like King Kong picking up the beautiful woman.
He's a large man.
Yeah. He was able to fit her entire hand in the palm of his hand.
Yep.
It was a little ridiculous. Because apparently the women in Gears of War are normal size, yeah. but all the men are giants.
I mean, that's small, and they're pretty tough women.
Oh, they're definitely tough. But they're normal-sized human yeah. beings.
Not big gorillas like the COG Gears.
Ugh.
All right. But for me, reflecting back, you realize that Gears changed the way the gaming industry develops games.
Yeah.
And it's not like Epic did anything that, you know, games haven't done already. What they did was they just perfected certain aspects which, you know, were at the core of the game's Gears mechanics.
Right.
Like the cover system.
Oh, yeah.
It's predominant in the game. You can't live without cover.
No, you can't play the game without getting a cover. No.
But cover-based games has been around, you know, it's not anything new. It's been around since, you know, games first began.
Yeah.
And, you know, but they weren't very successful. They weren't very good. And Gears made it work. Sticking the cover felt natural and smooth. And Epic really managed to improve mistakes made by those games.
Right.
And, you know, and made it a multifaceted game that used cover at its core. The cover mechanic Gears made since found its way to like lots of other games. Like Uncharted, they use it a lot.
Yep.
GTA 4 even had a cover based game mechanic.
Mass Effect too.
Rainbow Six Vegas had one. Army of Two had one. Even the Star Wars Old Republic MMO coming out, the smuggler class has a cover mechanic.
Because you know how much Han Solo was ducking into cover.
He was always in cover.
Yep.
One of the reasons I love Gears is because I love the co-op in the Gears.
Yeah.
And Gears made the revive feature, which is popular in games today. Because before Gears, most co-op games used the respawn system. Like, Halo is a good example of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, Respawn is great, but it doesn't create the same dynamic, like...
Right, because, you know, your partner dies and they just pop back a little further back. And yeah, you just wait.
Yeah. The whole tactic is you get shot. It's like, oh, my partner's dead. Let me run away from the battle. Oh, right. Okay, he's back now. With Gears, you can't.
No.
You have to get out of the cover. You have to, and face oncoming fire and maybe death.
Yeah, sometimes.
To rescue your buddy, or it's game over.
Because you have maybe 20 seconds of them bleeding out that you have a chance to revive them. Yeah. But in that time, they could be executed and shot more and killed.
Yeah.
And if they get killed, then you get game over. So you have to make sure you get them back.
It's a real... It made a real... real team dynamic.
Oh, yeah.
And at the end, I was like, I was a team with you.
Yep.
I played with Ed, I was a team with him, and it really became one. Then your other game, once again, other games capitalize on this system. You know, off the top of my head, Left 4 Dead has a
recovery, yeah.
You need to give them pills or wound them up.
Heal them, yeah.
Or if they die, then they don't just respawn. You have to go into the closet or whatever and
pull the safe houses.
Yeah, and get them out.
Yeah.
But anyway, I was talking about co-op. Horde mode.
Oh, I love Horde mode.
Was a multiplayer feature that I was creating in Gears 2. And, you know, it's wave after wave of enemies that attack you and a team of your friends. And it's basically a tower defense game.
Well, the second iteration in Gears 3 is more tower defense. In Gears 2, it's pretty much just don't die.
Well, that's true. But, you know, you really have to work together to survive.
Yeah.
You know, you share ammo. You constantly reviving one another.
Oh, yeah.
And even, you share kills. You do not care if you have a lot of kills. You're like, as long as they die, you don't give. And it's a really solid co-op experience. I mean, when Gears 2 came out, the multiplayer was really bad. Horde mode was the only one that was actually working. At the time.
Yeah. The multiplayer. I mean, I've never been a fan of the regular Gears multiplayer, but Horde is fantastic.
Oh. And so many studios are now trying to replicate that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you have Halo creating Firefight, or Halo Horde, as they like people call it. Left 4 Dead has a survival mode.
Yep.
Call of Duty has a zombie mode, where you have to survive everything. Uncharted 3 and Modern Warfare 3 are coming out, and even they're going to have a thing like just like that.
Yeah, it's such a simple idea, too, but no one did it before.
No.
You just team up and fight increasingly difficult enemies.
Exactly. Instead of dealing with D-bags online killing you, you can just work together. In Gears 3, they made a beast mode, which is, you know, basically the same formula of Horde, but flipped. Instead of humans fighting the locusts, you're a locust fighting cogs.
And it doesn't go on as long as Horde mode, but it's still lots of fun.
And it's kind of a puzzle game, too.
Yeah, you got to figure out which locusts are best for getting through which defenses.
Yeah, it's like, oh, okay, there's fences. You have to take tickers and blow them up and stuff. And, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if future games have something similar where you're the bad guys now trying to kill all the good guys.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't be either.
And then there's the graphics, which are beautiful because it's made by the Unreal Engine 3. Gears was the first game to actually show off the game engine.
That's because Epic designed it.
Oh, yeah. Epic made it, and, you know, the environments are so detailed, and the dynamic lighting that was in the game.
I love the art style, too, the sort of, what they call the destroyed beauty, that you can tell that Sarah used to be a really beautiful place, but, you know, 90 years of war, it's a pile of ruins.
Yeah, and you can tell it's like people actually made everything in the game. It doesn't seem like they, you know, said they put something random there. It's everything there is for a purpose. The Unreal Engine still kicks ass.
Yeah.
You know, since it's a game engine, many companies and developers have adapted the Unreal Engine, and some games like BioShock, which is a beautiful game, has used it. Mass Effect, a beautiful game.
Yeah.
Borderlands.
Which is different, but also really beautiful in its own way.
Yeah, I mean, they're all kind of different in their own way. But, you know, whether you guys like Gears or not, there's no denying that the franchise's influence in games. The game set the template for the future cover-based shooters. They created a brilliant co-op survival mode with Horde, and they just revolutionized graphic capabilities for an entire generation of games.
Yeah, and I think that's the real legacy of the series. No, they'll probably, you know, Cliff Bleszinski said he's not tired of it, and so they might make more, but I really don't think it's going to sully what's already there.
No.
And, you know, people are still going to be talking about Gears for a while.
Yeah. And then, I could see them doing a prequel, and I'd be fine with that.
Yeah, I'd play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't you let us know what you think about Gears? You know, leave it in the comments, hit us up on Facebook, and maybe we can all get online one day and play.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll be back in a little bit with some fantastic comments we got on the website. Stay tuned.
Yeah,
back to Ragnarok Rock. We've gotten a lot of comments on our website that we just can't put up other than to frame and hang on our walls.
Yeah.
So we thought that we would take a little time in the show to acknowledge the very special people, question mark, who send us these amazingly...
Well, remember, you have to let the listeners know that we're questioning whether or not they're people, because they may be angels.
They may actually be angels, in fact, communicating with us through the internet.
Right. So we printed out some, and we're going
to
read them.
Yeah, we're each going to take a minute to share one of these comments with you and give a little response to these, you know, holy people walking among us. So, Alicia, you have the first one, I believe.
Okay. This one's from Oakland Raiders jerseys.
Nice guy.
Really impressed. Anything is very, very clear. Open is a description of the problem. It contains the information.
It's touching that he would say that.
You know what's not very, very clear? This comment is not very, very clear. I feel like maybe they were trying to... Maybe they thought they were writing to a fortune company, like a fortune cookie company. I feel like I would get this in.
What do you mean? It's that open is a description of the problem.
We're really sorry, Oakland Raiders jerseys. We know you're listening.
And I feel like if I opened up a fortune cookie and saw that,
it contains the information.
It contains the information.
Right
in bed.
I would be satisfied. I wouldn't think that was a lame fortune.
So you would be really impressed.
Yep. All right, the next one is from Wholesale Canadians Jerseys. An impressive share, I recently given this onto a colleague who was simply performing a small analysis during this. And then he, in fact, bought me breakfast since I ran across it for him. Smile. So let me reword that. Thanks for the treat! But yeah, thanks for spending any time to go over this. I find myself strongly about this and adore reading regarding this topic. If at all possible, as you grow expertise, would you mind updating your website with a lot more details? It is extremely great for me. Huge thumb up because of this short article. Well, thank you for that one, Wholesale Canadians Jerseys.
He must be Oakland Raiders Jersey's brother.
Yeah, well, I just want to say I'm glad he got the treat. Mm. And we are definitely working on updating our website with a lot more details.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. You should probably see a doctor about that huge thumb, though.
Yes, yes, right. That could be a sign of some sort of cancer. Maybe a tumor.
Yeah.
Unless it's not a tumor.
Could be thumb cancer.
Thumb cancer. Oh, man. There's nothing like thumb cancer. It's the worst.
That's the worst.
New show title.
Thumb cancer's the worst. Two thumbs down for thumb cancer.
Two huge thumb down.
I'm going to veto that one.
All right. So, next comment.
Yeah. I got one from Zach Hermes Constance.
Love that guy.
Anti-snoring is the bane of our lifestyle. I've not worn good nights to sleep in years. I realize going to the healthcare provider would likely alleviate any sleep apnea. However, I are unable to rest using this type of different face mask. I definitely wish I have accustomed to this thing fast, snoring treatments.
I think that last line is, like, poetic.
Definitely.
I think Sakurami's concept should... I agree with you. Just... Who cares if you're snoring? Take it off if you can't sleep.
And Sack Hermes Constance made a little cow and chicken reference in there to IR Baboon.
Yes, he did.
The nostalgia, they should come back.
Mm-hmm.
Good old. I hope Sack Hermes Constance is able to get a good night's sleep using that type of face mask.
I think this might actually be, you know, Darth Vader.
That's his real name, Sack Hermes Constance.
Right.
It's not maybe it's like
using that type of face mask.
Maybe Sack Hermes Constance is some kind of weird anagram for Anakin Skywalker.
All right, so, Allie.
Our next comment comes from Casque Dre, and it is, a number of sincerely beneficial articles, members. Thank you for engagement. Well, you know what? You're welcome, Casque Dre.
You are very welcome.
And I'm sure we're all happy that you believe our articles to be beneficial.
I'm glad he had engagement.
Yes.
Yes.
Engagement is our ultimate goal here at Ragnarok.
Yep.
Engaging.
That's we are engaging.
Very much so.
All right, Eric, you want to read your little gem?
All right, this is from Deldone Moncler Home. I really hope I pronounced that right, sir.
It might be Dudone.
Dudone, all right, sure.
Dudone?
All right. You're thus awesome. I actually don't think there are master of products like this particular in advance of. And so awesome to find having it. Several genuine the thing, it this specific theme. Reality, many thanks for starting up this kind of write-up. This website is something this is required on the net. A person with some originality. Beneficial problem for carrying new stuff to the net. Well, Dodone, I'm anywhere of in this place I have been. And where you listen of the podcast us with, I certainly for everything think you should really have. Because for me, for you, for us, 4444, SSS, for jihad, blah, 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 ghosts.
Jihad.
And I think the only thing that we could add to that would possibly be period.
I think his grasp of the English language was my favorite part of that comment.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, like, beneficial problem for carrying new stuff to the net. That's like a Zen paradox for the digital age.
And also where he says, thank you for starting up this kind of write-up. I mean, we should let them know it's R-I-G-H-T up.
I'll post that in the show notes so they'll be able to see just how wonderful these comments are.
Yeah. Thanks for starting up this kind of write-up.
It's a write-up. It's like the
He's
huge
a big
thumb
fan.
On.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Except without the cancer.
How do you know?
True.
Wait, sweet, why do you think all of you have cancer?
Ryan's a very bleak person.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tragic.
Oh, this was typed wrong. Must have cancer.
You listen to Ryan on our podcast? You have cancer.
Cancer.
Well,
that's our secret master plan, Meyer. We're actually radiating cancer in all of our listeners through the internet.
I was going to say, in Ryan's defense, we have been beaming high doses of radiation through the podcast to our listeners.
We're sorry, everyone.
Yeah.
But unless you keep listening, you won't ever get the cure for your horrible cancers.
And if you don't have a tumor yet, we took care of that for you, too.
I had told my mom that I would teach her how to view the podcast, listen to the podcast, but now maybe I shouldn't.
Nope, you got her.
Unless you were wearing lead-lined underpants when you sat down in a chair in the waiting room before, we took care of that for you, too.
All right, and...
little Cave Johnson.
Yeah, little Cave Johnson.
Personal hero of mine.
So anyway, our final comment of the evening is going to be from By Chainsaws UK, and this was actually posted to Eric's write-up on Lollipop Chainsaws.
He loves chainsaws.
So By Chainsaws UK actually says, good post. I've got 9 chainsaws myself. Nothing quiet like feeling the force of one as you take down a forest. I have to say, I've never had that feeling in my life, but this guy, you know, he just gave me an idea for a fucking novel. It's Man versus Forest.
Man with chainsaw versus the
forest. You've never had the exquisite pleasure of strapping 9 chainsaws together and just running rampant through a forest. It is amazing.
Is he in a chainsaw made that suit? Movie twice. It was Ferngully and then it was Avatar.
They didn't do it like this. Because there wasn't just one man with 9 chainsaws
strapped together. They had a machine in Ferngully.
Talking about bringing back a movie.
That thing that Tim Curry is the smoke monster possessed. You know, that doesn't count. This is just one man carrying 9 fucking chainsaws.
I think this shows that our listenership has initiative. This guy knows what he wants to do, and this guy is going out to do this immeasurable task. And we appreciate our viewers, our listeners.
This man single-handedly, or nine-handedly, took down a forest.
He's in the UK, so I'm glad we have international appeal.
Yeah.
Thank you, By Chainsaws UK, because you've just turned me into a modern Jack London. Man versus nature. Man with a chainsaw versus fucking forest. Anyway, that's about...
I bet Hemingway would have written about that.
Probably. The old man and the chainsaw versus the forest.
For whom the ripsaw tolls.
All right, folks. Well, that about wraps it up for our fantastic email comments.
Keep sending them, though.
Yeah, please.
Every day, every moment. We want to see more.
It's almost like they're automatically sent to us by some benevolent force out there that just wants us to...
Sort of like machine that have just a good makes laugh. Awesome, right. Awesome comments.
Yeah. Not spam at all.
So yeah, please keep sending us your advertisements disguised as real comments, and we will read them.
Or real comments disguised as advertisements.
And we will read them on the air because they are very entertaining. All right, folks, we'll be right back.
Use them up.
Well, I remember all the things. All the things I did as a child.
All right. And that just about does it for episode 10 of Ragnarok. Remember nostalgia or revenge of the human tentacle?
So much anger.
It's been a rough road, but we've talked about nostalgia. We've talked about Gears of War.
Yeah.
We read some hilarious comments.
No, we read some wonderful comments.
Wonderful.
Written by angels.
Yes. Or spam bots. The two are usually indistinguishable, believe it or not.
Yeah. So anyway, for those of you who enjoy our podcast, you can like us on Facebook. We have a Facebook site. You can follow us on Twitter, @RagnarokRock. You can download our podcast through iTunes. So you should go on iTunes and leave us a review. Give us a good rating. And you can also leave us a voicemail. Our number is 516-362-NERD. That's 516-362-6373.
Get it? Nerd?
Nerd.
Ragnarok. I'll explain it to you later.
Okay.
You can also send us emails at info@ragnarokrock.com. Or leave us comments on the website. As Alex said earlier, comments disguised as advertisements.
Or vice versa.
So anyway, next episode we should be doing a lot of coverage about New York Comic Con.
Yep. We'll be there.
It's going to be intense.
Gun.
So I think that about does it for this episode. Stop. I'm Ryan.
I'm Alex.
I'm Eric.
I'm Broly Mar.
I'm Alicia.
I'm Allie.
They're Ed. Hi, everyone.
all the things I did as a child. But when I see what they're doing, it's enough to drive me wild.